love Marvel.
Comic Conversations.
It's awesome.
With your host,
the wickedly talented
Tony.
Hey, what's this in the weeds? It's a baby. Awesome.
Alex. And Dave.
Push it. And Plymouth. Push it. And Plymouth. Okay, I've got to get him out of here. I've got to get back in the old truck.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everybody. This is Tony, and you're listening to a brand new episode of Comic Conversation, the podcast that reviews more comics than anybody else. And if you're listening to us on iTunes, please leave us a five-star review. We'd really appreciate that. And as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Alex and Dave. Alex, how are you doing tonight?
Jefferson Starship wrote one of the worst songs ever, but it is not that song that you just played.
That's an amazing song from an amazing movie.
That is a perfectly acceptable song from Mannequin.
What was the song that you said that you hate?
I didn't say hate, that you guys were... Okay.
Yeah. We built this city. Built this city on rock and roll. That's like the worst song ever written, lyrically, musically.
By the way, I
want to talk about this briefly. We went bowling today, and at the bowling alley, they play like shitty modern pop music, but they'll drop down the video walls, and then they'll play music videos when the songs are playing.
Uh huh.
Pop music is worse than it has ever been, I think.
do they do the gimmick where they let you pick the song with the jukebox? I know that's what they do at my local bowling alley.
No, because the jukebox is in the bar that's in the place, and they play good music.
Oh.
But it's just like fucking, I don't listen to the radio because it's 2016. Who the fuck listens to the radio anymore? But this is apparently the shit that's popular now. I knew auto-tuning had got out of control, but I didn't realize pop singers now, they sing in fucking monotone.
Yeah.
And then they just auto-tune up or down. Like, they have no ability to sing at all.
Late slip.
So every song sounds exactly the same, and they all sound bad.
Well,
this offended me today.
Welcome
Lauren
to
wanted to kill herself, and it was her birthday.
Welcome to 2012.
2012? No, it wasn't that bad then, because I still occasionally
listen. It's been bad for a while, dude.
It's gotten worse. And then at one point, they were playing fucking Justin Bieber, and I'm like, he's still a thing? The kid from the internet?
Yeah.
Apparently he is.
He's a thing. All right. And Dave, how are you doing tonight?
I don't have a cool story like him about music sucking, so.
You picked quite a good song, actually. The Kamala thing. In light of Brooklyn Brawler being given his walking papers from WWE.
I can't believe they fired the fucking Brawler. I just watched something where they mentioned him on like Table for Three or something.
Yeah, that was basically his job.
It was Ride Along. It was Ambrose and Reigns who were making fun of the Brooklyn Brawler, but before he got fired.
I didn't know he was still with the company.
Yeah, he did. He was the guy who like rounded up people for when they had to do videos and shit. Like Brawler would track him down and send him to the room, and I think he helped with like pre-tapes too.
And he helped with Patterson.
That was the rumor.
In fact, I was listening to the lyrics of that Kamala song, and they bring it up. He's like, you know, in fact, the room that I checked out, I was next to Patterson, and they checked in together.
He's like, I ain't lying. I saw them both go.
wasn't he one of the doinks?
I don't think so.
He wasn't? He was somebody besides the Brooklyn Brawler, though, right?
Maybe. Let me see.
He's gone through a couple gimmicks, I think.
He was the Knuckleball Schwartz, whatever.
Oh, yeah, but he had the face shit, so.
Looks like a baseball, yeah.
He was Abe Knuckleball Schwartz, the Boston Brawler, the Brooklyn Brawler. Oh, yeah, he was Doink the Clown. Kim Chi.
Yes,
MVP, Red Knight, and Steve Lombardi.
He was MVP?
Not Montavious, whatever the hell is. Not the modern interpretation. I'm sure it was an old school version.
I was going to say, fuck, he looked different.
Well, he did the blackface, you know.
Yeah, that was impressive. So is Knuckleball Schwartz the inspiration for Dasher Hatfield?
I sincerely doubt that, because Dasher Hatfield's actually good.
Well, but you could be inspired by somebody's shit and then be good.
Really? Can you think of any instance where that's actually been true?
Yeah, how many fucking good wrestlers? Daniel Bryan, he said he wanted to be a wrestler because of Ultimate Warrior.
Huh, how about that?
Ooh. Boom.
All right.
And Lance Storm, he wasn't over ever, but he was technically a talented wrestler, and he said he started watching wrestling because he saw the Road Warriors on TV.
I like on our comic book show, you're so willing to talk wrestling, but whenever I pitch the idea to do a wrestling show, you guys are like, no, let's not do that show.
Well, because other people already do that better. I just sandwich it into our comic show.
That's fine. I'm not complaining. I'm just saying there's stuff here, apparently.
We're going to have a short show today, people.
Yeah, there's not a ton of books. In fact, let's go into our first segment as, well, not always, but our first segment this week, the lightning round. For this week's lightning round, we have Swamp Thing, 4001 Exo Manowar, that's the tie-in, Web Warrior, and A&A Archer and Armstrong. You guys have any preference where we start this thing? I know, Dave, you really wanted to bump up 4001 Exo Manowar.
Yeah, this was a prequel to the 4001 AD series. It told the story of the origin of the Exo Mech armor that we saw at the beginning, you know, at the end of 4001 AD.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, it was the early days of New Japan. All the countries they basically extracted stuff from the Exo Manowar armor, and they all created their giant mechs. But apparently, Father had things in place and was able to destroy them all except for the one, which was the U.S. one, because the plan was take them all out but leave one witness so they don't try it again.
Yeah,
yeah, and that was pretty much it.
I thought it was a pretty good outing, but. Also very short, not a ton to happen, and that's why we're printing the lightning round, right?
Yeah.
So it's still a good book. It's not us criticizing Valiant, but, you know, not a ton happen. In fact, that probably leads us into our next book. Something else that didn't happen from Valiant that was actually pretty short, too. A&A, Archer and Armstrong?
Yeah, in this issue, Archer, he recovered from his drunk episode where he was forced drunk.
Yeah, that was great. Armstrong punched him in the stomach to make him puke and then immediately had him drink coffee, which I remember from my younger days. The best way to get sober is throwing up because that's what we used to do. We used to make ourselves throw up and then we could drink more. It's kids, don't do that. It's not good for you, but it will make you feel sober.
I have to imagine someday your son Jack's going to be listening to this. It's like, okay, Dad, thanks.
What are the chances when Jack's old enough to actually, you know, drink? I don't know, it'll be like 15, 16 kids start drinking. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I'm going to go listen to my dad's podcast from 10 years ago. I don't think that's going to happen.
From the week of May 11, 2016. Yeah. Let's do that.
Yeah. I'll listen to this one. This sounds like a good one. Dad, you said I fucking drink and puke. I'd be all right. What's up? No, but it worked because it sobered him up. He needed him sober so they could fight Bacchus.
Yeah. Yeah. And also, he told Mary Maria about his relationship with Faith. Armstrong was like, we have a computer now?
Well, Faith gave it to me because, you know, I had to contact her, so.
Yeah, but what he pointed out was he's not sure if he's actually in a relationship with her. He just talks to her a lot.
Yeah.
I think it's one of those things to where this is further along and this was back in the timeline and Faith is a little bit ahead. Because at some point in Faith, didn't they officially become a couple?
I think in issue 5 of this series, apparently they're supposed to go on a date or something.
Yeah. And the issue hasn't come out yet. The only thing we've seen is her talking to him on the computer, which they referenced in this, but they weren't really dating.
Hmm. Okay. And that's A&A Archer Armstrong. Good, solid entry in the series. Funny. I love the art, but again, not a whole lot to talk about, so that's where we're lightning around. Swamp Thing, a book that I think Alex was right in dropping when he did. Because the first story was great, and this story we only got one more issue to go, but really, I could honestly be done without this story.
I usually am right, by the way.
Matt Cable still holding the world hostage. Meanwhile, Alec Holland is transported across the world to retrieve the hand of Fatima. He runs into the Spectre, and I guess he's looking for help to become Swamp Thing again. That was pretty much it.
Yeah, it felt like they shoehorned the spirit, and earlier Dave didn't mention the review, but Dead Man. It's like, okay, you put them in the story, and they contributed nothing. I guess he just wanted to have a cameo. I don't know. There was no real reason to introduce him into the story.
The characters sort of have connections to Swamp Thing in the past, so.
Yeah, but to just introduce them to do nothing with them?
Well, cameos are fun.
I guess. Okay, in our final lightning round book, Web Warriors this week. I thought it was a fun, enjoyable book, but you guys did have a point when we were talking off air. It was a fun book, it was a funny book, but really, what was the takeaway from this issue? Nothing really.
It was funny. Yeah, it was funny. That was it. Web Warriors.
And it was funny.
Yeah, they the Web Warriors, they help out Spider-Punk and his world. It's apparently being invaded by Dr. Doom Duck and his Doom Duck bots.
That was funny, though. It was Dr. Duck 2099.
Doom Duck.
Especially when I don't know if it was the punk Spider-Man or not, but one of them was just like, why are they shooting lasers? Why? This doesn't make any sense. And then they were just like, they're shooting lasers because that's what they do.
Spider-Man Noir, he took him lightly. He broke his arm.
Yeah, he got his arm broke, and then he was all shocked that his arm was broke.
Yeah. Yeah, and at the end, Spider-Ham was able to save the day. Apparently he's very powerful, which I didn't know.
Yeah, this is news to me, too. So, I mean, kind of interesting that they're fleshing out that character, but really, in a comedy book that... Alex, did you say you want to drop this book?
From reviewing.
Yeah.
I want to stop reviewing it. I want to keep reading it.
Oh, okay. I thought you said you were on the fence with that book.
No, I'll keep reading it because I enjoy it. It's just, it's my same thing with most comedy books except Power of the Duck, which for some reason I always have something to say about.
Yeah, it's funny. That's the one. There's so many comedy books that we pick up and they're funny, but then we'll stop reading it because it's, you know, there's not a whole lot of takeaway from the book. There's not a lot of reason to keep reading it. So we just kind of just drop it. In fact, that's what I had another problem with, another lightning round book I read this week, which is Gwenpool issue 2. Great book, funny issue. You know, they make you really feel for Gwenpool. She's a sweet character, but at the end of the day, it's another comedy book to where, you know, I don't really need to read it. It was kind of cute that they've established that Gwenpool has no superpowers. She doesn't even know how to use a gun. And that she's on this team with all these, you know, assassins because MODOK forced her to be recruited on the team. But at the end of the day, Batroc found out that she she didn't have any superpowers or she couldn't even fire a gun and aim correctly. And at the end of the issue, he's like, I'm going to tell. So, yeah, that little instance of just Batroc being a goofball. But it's another one of these, you know, long line of series of books that we've read in the past. Squirrel Girl. What's another book that we've read before in the past? It's a comedy book that we were like, it's just a good book, but we're not going to ever read it again. I think it was, God Hates Astronauts. God Hates Astronauts, another book that we've picked up. It's a good book. It's a funny book, but, you know, there's no real takeaway and there's no real desire to keep reading the series.
Yeah, once you get done saying King Tiger eating a cheeseburger, it's like...
okay, I mean, it's funny because we haven't talked about it in months, but, yeah, it's one of those things where we're doing it monthly. It's like, all right, it's this book's funny. It's, you know, not a whole lot happened. Next book. All right. With that out of the way, let's go into our next segment, this week's books. Holy crap, that song rules.
Yeah, that's from Castlevania Bloodlines, the Genesis Castlevania.
I thought it sounded vaguely familiar from the Genesis era, because I kept thinking, I'm like, this sounds like Splatterhouse. I'm like, why does it sound that Sega? But I'm like, I'm sure it was either a Nintendo or Super Nintendo game. But
Yeah, because Genesis had a weird, like, the Super Nintendo sound chip, which was made by Sony, so it makes sense, everybody always puts over as being great. And the Genesis sound chip, people generally kind of rip in comparison because it was so tinny and weird sounding.
It was distinct.
Every once in a while, they'd have a game where it just, they fucking got it and they knew how to get the most out of it. That Castlevania game was one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Most Konami games were one of them because they were just good at making video game music, I guess. And then, you know, the Sonic game sounded good.
Yeah. And it's one of those instances where maybe it's just nostalgia blinds me to it. But I like it. It's distinct and it's different.
Yeah, it was. They got an awesome version of Bloody Tears on that game, too.
Ooh, nice.
It's really good.
Let's play that later. All right, let's go into this week's books for the week of May 11, 2016. And they are as follows. Archie Issue 8, Action Comics 52, New Romancer 6, The Fix 2, Jupiter Circle Volume 2, Issue 6, All New, All Different Avengers 9, All New X-Men 9, Black Panther 2, Darth Vader 20, Illuminati 7, Ultimate 7, Uncanny Inhumans 8, Vision 7, and Ninjak 15. Great haul of books this week, if I do say so myself.
Ninja K 15. By the way, you have to correct his name is not
Yeah, he
Ninjak.
Did the gimmick again
Ninja
where he's K. wearing the shirt with the K on it.
Love that gimmick. Let's just go. No, we can't. We do this in order now, don't we?
Yes, this is NAM. I mean, this isn't NAM. There are rules. So let's go alphabetically and start with Archie, Issue 8, writer Mark Waid, art by Veronica Fish.
Enjoyed this issue.
This is a good issue, Archie, there. They had a problem.
Yeah.
And then they solved the problem by the issue's end.
Yeah. Veronica's dad was trying to put together a plan to get her away from Archie. And the best way to do it was to promote Archie's dad, offered him a job making a lot of money in Singapore, and he was going to be gone for a year. But then Archie found out that, you know, this was all his plan. He was trying to get him away from, Veronica. And he was going to tell his dad, but he couldn't find it in his heart to do it because his dad was so excited about the new job and all the new
upgrades. Getting triple the pay and.
Yeah.
His ideas had been so good that they promoted him.
But he was conflicting. He was going back and forth, and he just decided, you know what? It means a lot to my dad. I'm not going to tell him. But he still goes up to Veronica's dad. He's like, you know what? I'm not going to tell my dad about this, but you're a terrible human being. You're a bully, and I hate this. But you know what? I'm not going to tell my dad. But sure enough, the dad's in the office with Veronica's dad.
Yeah.
Well, no, he was at Veronica's house meeting with him. And Veronica's dad tries to explain to him. He's like, hey, listen, everything he said is true, but I'm still going to offer you the job because I really do think you're an asset to the company. I really do think you deserve this. And his dad's like,
his
dad aped what Archie said. He's like, no. And he's like, why not? And he goes, I don't like bullies.
Yeah. It was a nice little story here.
My favorite joke in this was when, Veronica's talking to her dad, and he finds a piece of ginger hair on her.
Yeah.
And he's like, you were with that Andrews kid, weren't you? And she's like, no, dad, it's from my cat. And he's like, what cat? And she's like, well, if you really care about me, you know about my cat. And then in the next scene, she's at the pet store with Archie, holding cats up to his head, trying to find a match. And none of them match. And then she sees like this big, fat, just ginormous orange cat, and this little girl's holding it, and she's like, hey, you don't really want that cat? And she's like, no, I love him. And she's like, how can you love him? You've only known the cat since you walked into the store. I'll buy you two kittens and a puppy.
And the dad's all, wait, let's think about this for a second.
We don't have room. And then Veronica told him that the cat, they had to break up just for a little bit while things calmed down with daddy. And the cat was his replacement.
So
it's good.
A good read, a good entry in the Archie series so far. Mark Waid continues to deliver. Yeah. Veronica Fish is starting to win me over. I'm content with Fiona Staples never coming back.
Oh, but they also teased that Archie isn't really cool with Betty seeing this other dude because. When Archie is fucking around in his car and he hits the car because he's going to have to say bye to it because you got to be 18 to drive in Singapore and he's not going to bring his car over with him. The headlight falls off and Betty sees it because she was hanging out in the bushes.
Yeah.
With her boyfriend. I don't know why, but so she's hanging out in the bushes. She's like, oh, we got to go fix it. And when she's fixing it, her new boyfriend hands her like a fucking tool to work on the car with. And they touch hands, and Archie sees it, and he's like, ooh. So, problems.
Yes.
Problems mounting?
problems, Well, shit. I mean, come on. He's in this comic. He's a 16-year-old kid. And you might read this. You might be like, what the fuck? You got a new girlfriend. What are you doing? Dude, you're a fucking 16-year-old kid. Shit's hard to stay loyal to a woman. You look at a fucking every round. That's just what you do.
You sound 16. Like you're speaking from personal experience there, Alex.
Dude, I was 16. I had a girlfriend. Fucking, she's great. I loved her, but I still want a little something on the side. That was all. It wasn't my fault. I was 16.
Yes, in fact, yeah. That can be sort of justified. You were 16, and it doesn't really matter.
Didn't know any better. Girls are probably the same way. I don't know.
All right, let's move on to the DC portion of the show. Action Comics 52, writer Peter Tomasi, art by Fernando Pessari.
This is part of the final days of Superman storyline.
Should we justify? Can we tell people why we're reading Action Comics for once?
Oh, because they're probably going to kill bad Superman and bring in good Superman. And
when he refers to bad Superman, he's talking about the new 52 Superman. And when he refers to good Superman, he's talking about the original New 52. Yeah.
Yeah. Although there wasn't a bad Superman, it was Solar Superman.
Yeah, I don't understand who that was. I imagine if we had been reading the current Action Comics, we had a better idea. But
we missed out on a little bit in this because we haven't been reading Action Comics. So there's like a crazy bad Superman flying around, and we don't know anything about him.
And because DC doesn't do recap pages, we have no idea what's going on.
And the new 52 Superman apparently is dying from something.
Yeah, he had like green shit. Maybe he's got like kryptonite poisoning, but he knows he's gonna die, apparently.
Yeah.
And Lois is kind of sad about it.
Yeah.
There are two Loises too, though, so that's kind of confusing.
But I thought this, the new 52 Lois and new 52 Clark never hooked up. I thought it was, cause in this issue, they established that he had the relationship with Wonder Woman.
But they still seem pretty buddy-buddy.
Yeah, well, they worked together, but they weren't like that wasn't his major relationship. His major relationship in New 52 was with Wonder Woman.
Okay. Well, yeah, because he was fucking flying around with her and shit, but then he was also talking shit about her.
Hey, does Wonder Woman fly?
I think she does now.
Yeah.
Okay. So that
no, she's been able to fly for a long time. She hasn't, but she's still, okay. Wonder Woman has been able to fly forever, but for some reason she still had the invisible jet.
Mm-hmm. It was faster?
I don't know. I don't know. Maybe it was faster than she could fly. It wasn't a fucking jet.
That's the only thing I can come up with.
I think people just got sick of the joke of her flying in the invisible plane, so they justified it by saying, they always
bring it back, though. In Morrison's Justice League run, she could fly, but she still took the invisible jet every once in a while.
Okay. I feel like the flaming Superman kind of took away from the interaction between the new 52 Superman and the original Superman. Because I feel like
the reason they interacted.
Yeah,
I know that's the reason why in story, but I feel like you could have done a perfectly acceptable story with new 52 Superman meaning the original.
Well, yeah, but I mean this bad Superman is, I don't know, they're going to have to team up to stop him.
Mm. Yeah. Because apparently he's got the original Superman's family hostage.
But you figure classic Superman should be strong enough to take this guy down, right? I mean, shouldn't really need the help.
Well, if he's a Superman.
No, he's not Superman. He's still the Superman, though. He's the real Superman, so come on.
Yeah. It doesn't matter, though. If this guy has the same powers as him, he's just as strong as him, except he's... Then again, though, if he's leaking sun power... By fighting him, Superman, who absorbs the sun's radiation, would then get stronger while he fights him.
Just kill this new 52 Superman already.
Superman doesn't kill, dude.
Give us no. I'm saying the writer.
That's in the movies that he kills. Dick.
Get that Superman to kill new 52 Superman.
That'd be good, and then old school Superman could put him in the fucking Phantom Zone or whatever.
Yeah, there you go. And then they never bring it up ever again.
He could pull the S off his chest and throw it on him and trap him.
That
like
was great.
Like in Superman.
Yeah. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Why doesn't he have that power?
I know. That'd make
he
him
He only over. Ever used it once.
Should have had that in the new Superman movie, the one where he fights Batman. What's that movie called? The one where Batman fights Superman?
Batman versus Superman.
Now I'm being a dumbass.
Dawn of Justice.
Oh, yeah. I forgot the subtitle.
As a subtitle.
Ah, there you go.
Motherfucker.
All right, let's keep things within the DC family, but let's go to Vertigo. New Romancer 6, writer Peter Milligan, art by Brett Parson.
Well, this was originally going longer than 6 issues, and they had to rush to a finale.
To be honest, I wish it'd gone even shorter. Cause this thing wore out's welcome.
I liked it.
This thing wore out's welcome with me a long time ago, or at least with the last issue. Oh. And I was like,
see, I liked it because they got more into the characters, but when I'm reading this, I realized they didn't really have enough time to do full character arcs. So this was a rush job. Like, Lexi, the female protagonist, she grew up as a person and matured in the span of 3 pages because they didn't have time to fully do it before. Her dad developed a relationship with another character during the course of this issue in like 4 pages. Byron became less of a douchebag in 1 page because the story demanded it. Like, it wrapped everything up well. Like, it got you the ending you probably would have wanted, except they didn't have the time to do it. Because it was a normal length, it was 22 pages, and they had to wrap it all up, and, you know, the actual wrapping up of it was good, but it still felt like it got cut down a lot.
I was fine, you know, I think it was the last issue where it stopped being funny, and that was a lot of the heart of this book. And this, you know, it really focused on the story. And to be honest, without the comedy, this ain't much of a story. Like, it's a cute story, but it doesn't deserve to go on for 6 issues. And then if the plan was original, was the plan originally from all these Vertigo titles to go 12?
A lot of them were promised 12, but, you know, plans change.
So this is a story that didn't need to be told 6 issues.
Oh, you guys, Darwin Cook died.
Who?
Yeah, I saw that, yeah.
Who did?
Oh, he did the New Frontier at DC. He did the last Catwoman redesign. He worked on the Superman and the Batman animated series. I think he might have been the lead on Batman Beyond. He did a lot of shit, and that Twilight Children, which was one of the DC Vertigo books we didn't read, but it was really well reviewed. He drew that.
Yeah, I'm more guilty than all of us because I bought the first issue but then never read it.
Oh, well, it's apparently good, and the art's really good because Darwin Cook was, you know, he's a good artist, but he died cancer.
Oof.
Sad.
Kind of a bummer.
Man. Oh, well. Sorry to bring the show down.
Yeah, we should have talked about this in the news, but like I said, I didn't know. Well, like I said, I'm still the comic book noob, so when I see a name like that, I don't recognize it.
I didn't even know he died.
Oh, okay.
No, I knew he had cancer, and I saw literally it
just, I was on Facebook, and I just saw it.
Okay. Something that maybe would have been better news, but like I said, I didn't know the name, so I didn't know whether or not it was a news story or not.
It was posted 3 hours ago, so it was pretty recent.
Yeah.
I didn't check 3 hours ago, so.
Okay. So sort of, I guess, late breaking news, but by the time this show comes out, long since it's been over. All right.
Yep.
So let's move on to Image. In our first Image book, we have Fix Issue 2, writer Nick Spencer, art by Steve Lieber.
It was a lot better than the first issue.
I thought the opposite. I thought this was a lot less funny and the story wasn't all that great either.
I don't know. I had more fun reading this one.
Go figure. Right?
I didn't read it because I didn't like the first issue. So
I don't know. I liked it. What's his name? Roy?
Mm-hmm.
Character. He shoots his partner in the hand and frames his fellow police officer Pete Danielson for murder. And the reason why? Well, because, Roy and his partner, Brundo, I think his name, have to figure out a way to get Brundo transferred to the K-9 unit, hence injuring him in the line of duty so heroic. So they kind of just, that's why he ended up shooting his hand. And at the end of the issue, he's like, yeah, they don't think the nerves are going to work anymore and my hand's never going to be useful.
It's like, oops.
And the reason why he framed Danielson is because he was given a private security detail that Roy wanted. So and this guy was a guy who was like this perfect citizen, you know, good.
Everybody liked him. Nobody ever had a bad thing to say about him. He went to his local donut shop, and he always left a tip. Everybody liked him. His wife loved him. Everybody thought he was like the coolest guy ever. And who's the guy? Roy, right?
Yeah, Roy is the guy who's
he saw people like that. Even when the news came out when he had framed him for the murder, everybody that knew him, I watched on the TV. It's like, I knew it. And Roy sort of told the story of, you know, people who are like that, who feel the need to go out of their way to be really nice, you got to know they're hiding something. Like, no one does that for no reason.
He didn't flat out say that they had him, like, search stuff in his place. He's like, I don't know if he had any. I'm not saying I planted anything, but.
No, I may or may not have planted something at his house.
But chances are, you know, if they look in the right spots, they're going to find something.
I don't even like who's that girl again? She's internal affairs, right?
Yeah.
She's like, you're an awful human being. The second she, you know, he shows his face to her after this whole frame job.
Yeah. So yeah, he ends up getting that detail, and his friend Bruno, he does get assigned to the canine unit, but apparently it's not a German Shepherd. He gets like a little dog named Pretzel. It looks like a freaking terrier.
It was the dog from the end of the first issue, the drug sniffing one that could find any drug on anybody.
Oh, okay. And that's why he was all over him, because he's probably smelled drugs on him.
Exactly. And I think that was their whole plan from the get-go, was to get this dog.
Oh, yeah, because remember, the dog was they were trying to get through that,
customs.
Yeah, customs, but they couldn't because of that dog. So, yeah, this was his way of getting him assigned to that unit.
I had wondered what was the point of him shooting him in the hand. I was like, was this trying to get him out of the guy that they're supposed to smuggle drugs for? But then at the end, it made sense once they finally got Pretzel with the dog.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to our other Image book, Jupiter's Circle, Volume 2, Issue 6, writer Mark Miller, art by Wilfredo Torres.
This was the end of the Volume 2 of Jupiter's Circle. Utopian, you know, he does his little good stuff around the world. He's concerned by the impact superheroes have had, battling natural disasters and stuff with high-powered humans. There was doubts about, I know, what's his name, John Rockefeller. He wanted his sperm so he can have a son that has his powers. Mm-hmm. And in exchange, he was going to give half his fortune to charity. So he was conflicted. He's like, I could do a lot of good with this. So,
but then if I do this and I give this guy my sperm and he's allowed to have this superpower kid, he's just going to use it as a means to control the masses and keep the 1% even more so and close to themselves. And at the end, he decides to not give him the sperm. He decides to give away half his fortune. And his wife is like, you know what? I can't live with this anymore. It's not just you giving away your money. It's just you're too perfect. He's like, yeah. I'm just a human being. You make me feel bad. I'm this overachiever person that's done so much with my life, but compared to you, I'm nobody. So I can't continue living like this. You're the perfect human being. Even when we're broke, even when we break up, he was a perfect gentleman about it. You know, he saw her off and he was like, okay, I wish I'd worked out, but whatever. He's like, God, even when I break up with you, you're like a perfect human being. He's like, I need to be with someone flawed. I need to be with somebody who's a terrible person sometimes.
Yeah, so he ends up using his money. He cashed out everything, his entire fortune. Mm-hmm. And he decided to be Santa Claus for the world.
That was cute.
Yeah, and he built stuff for kids and this and that. And then Sky Fox, remember in the last issue, he fought Brainwave because Brainwave admitted to controlling the Sunny's mind after all those years.
Yeah, whose wife is this again? The other guy's wife?
Brainwave's wife, but it was Sky Fox's girlfriend at the time.
There we go, okay.
Yeah. So they imprisoned Sky Fox, but he ended up escaping. And, you know, Utopian asked Brainwave again if it was true, and he was like, no, it's not true. He's like, well, that's all God. Your word is all I need, then. But, yeah, I mean, yeah, what an asshole he did.
Yeah, who would have thought it would have been so emotionally invested in Jupiter's Circle at this point?
Yeah. So, you know, it kind of ended there. You see Utopian by himself And then Lady Liberty, you know, she finds him, and he's like, he's all crying because, I mean, I guess, you know, because of his marriage broke up and I guess other stuff. You know, he's lonely. So they ended up, that's how they ended up getting together. Because remember, she was kind of the same way. She didn't, I think she had too high standards for a dude or something.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, they established that in previous issues. In fact, in this volume.
Yeah. So, yeah, they got together and they eventually married and they had kids. And that was kind of how it ended.
Okay. So, you know, if you would have told me at this point if I still would have cared about Jupiter's Circle, I think I wanted to drop it last issue, but Dave, you convinced me to stick on. I'm kind of glad I did because I like this whole, what they're doing with Brainwave.
Yeah.
And Star Fox, or Sky Fox.
Yeah, Sky Fox.
So, well, you know, it was a book that was really literally on the bubble, but now that you forced me to stick around, I was like, I'm kind of glad I did because it's actually a pretty good story. All right, Let's move on to the Marvel section portion of the show. All new, all different Avengers, issue 9, writer Mark Waid, art by Adam Kubert.
You guys were talking about this.
This is a book I wanted to bump into the lightning round, and honestly, I've been talking to Dave before. I'm kind of over this series by Waid. It kind of feels like he's phoning it in.
Anyone? Well, he introduced a new character in this issue, so I didn't see it. I mean, here's the thing. Marvel and Fat Man were talking about this, and they thought he was, like, channeling, like, what did you say, Marvel?
The old hokey 60s origins.
Yeah, I read it, and I could see where he thought that, but I read it knowing what they said going ahead. And really the only dialogue that was like that was Vision's, and that's how Vision talks. So, no, I didn't read it that way.
But
it was just an introduction of a new character, and they found a really fucking awkward way to tie the new Wasp into Hank Pym, which Marvel looked it up and confirmed.
It is canon.
This is technically canon.
Yeah.
Because
it was the, I think it was like the 17th issue of the original Tales to Astonish of, it was issue 44, but it was like 17 issues into the, Hank Pym run. He was married to some Hungarian woman, but in that issue, it was mentioned in a flashback because he met the Wasp. And I don't know if it's ever been, I've never read it referenced once up until today.
But they reference it here, and they said that this woman, his ex-wife, he had thought that she was kidnapped and killed, but in fact, she was kidnapped and not killed. She's dead now, but she wasn't killed at the time, and she was pregnant with Hank's kid. So this is the daughter.
La hija del Pym.
Huh?
La hija del Pym.
Oh, yeah. The Mexican luchador gimmick.
Yeah, that's funny. But she is the unknown daughter of Hank Pym.
And also in this issue, Vision's going haywire. Something's going on with him.
He's breaking a little bit.
Yeah, some after effects from his interaction with Kane or Kang.
Possibly. That's what they suspected.
Stress over what's going on in his own book also, obviously.
I have to imagine that's gonna play some role into that.
I don't think it will. The tones of the two books don't match at all.
Yeah, I'm sort of they're with you, but, you know.
Yeah, they're vastly different. I don't want them to cross over.
Yes, cause that book's really good and this one's, I don't know, Alex, are you?
There's nothing wrong with this. You're being too hard on it.
Okay. All right, I'm perfectly comfortable being in my minority in this kind of situation. Since we're talking. Go ahead, Dave.
The end of the issue. It looks like the Avengers are heading into space. Apparently, they're gonna try to rescue Sam Alexander's father. Apparently, something's going on. I don't read the Nova book, but
yeah, the Nova book is getting canceled.
It is.
Well, nobody buys it, so.
I haven't even checked the sales.
Yeah, but there's tons of books that, you know, that we don't cover that I'm sure people are still buying or doing too well. This is the first I'm hearing of the Nova book being canceled.
Is Red Wolf canceled yet? Because I know that one was, like, really bad.
No, but that one has a minority in the lead, so it won't get canceled right away. Oh, Lero said something that's true. Oh, wait, I'm Alex.
Sam
Alex said something that's true.
Sam Alexander is a minority.
Boom.
Here's a mask. His name is Sam.
Okay.
The white man's name.
Since we're talking Vision, you want to go straight to the Vision book?
Oh.
No?
No, I want to save it.
Okay. Let's have people keep listening for. All right. All new X-Men issue 9, writer Dennis Hopeless, art by Mark Bagley.
I enjoyed this a lot.
Yeah, it was a pretty good issue. It was Genesis.
This reminded me of the old good Wolverine and the X-Men issues where it would just be about the kids.
Yeah.
Yeah, enjoyed that.
It was Evan's birthday party, and it seemed like a little fun event. But then, you know, you could tell Evan was feeling sad and alone. He went off to use Pickles to teleport to a small town in the Midwest. He's basically reminiscing about how, you know, for his origin, it was implanted in his mind that he grew up in, like, the middle of nowhere in Kansas.
Yeah, and he even imagines, like, going back and the kids, well, the kids from when he was a kid, like, being mean to him and throwing shit at him. But even the shitty parts he was imagining, because there ain't no fucking town there. There are no people. It's pretty much an abandoned town because it's bullshit, and he knows it's bullshit, but he wanted it to be real because he doesn't really have any, you know, he doesn't have happy memories of his childhood. He has fake happy memories of his childhood. Mm-hmm. And he goes on this, it's mostly like internal narration from him talking about how, you know, he's the kid in the corner of the room who's always smiling. And, you know, he said, I am generally pretty happy, but the reason I'm always smiling is because
he has to.
I'm going to grow up to be Apocalypse. And if anybody sees me kind of down or angry, they're going to worry about what that's going to mean. Mm-hmm. So while he is happy, he has to present himself as always being happy for fear of what the other people think.
Yep.
So that was interesting. And then he travels back to ancient Egypt with young Hank and meets young Apocalypse.
Yeah, the original Apocalypse.
I don't think we've ever, I mean, we know Apocalypse is from ancient Egypt. Like, that's, you know, is he the first mutant?
I think.
Chronologically?
I think chronologically, yes.
I would say yes.
Okay, I don't think we know of one earlier than him. But, so, I don't think we've ever gotten his childhood, though. So this could be a new story. Well, it's going to be a new story because it involves time travel, but just if we get to see how young Apocalypse grew up, I don't believe we've ever seen that. We saw Apocalypse as an adult in Egypt. I remember reading that, but I don't think we ever saw him as a kid.
Okay, and in this, they don't portray him as, you know, as Damien, the son of Satan. He's just, you know, he's just a kid.
Yeah, and he's kind of a pansy kid, too.
Yeah, so, well, sort of, to, you know, to make a parallel to Evan.
A little bit, but I mean, Evan, you know, he knows how to fight and everything.
Oh, apparently the oldest mutant, I guess, chronologically, would be Selene.
Let's go with it's Apocalypse because Apocalypse is over.
Who the hell is Selene?
Yeah, exactly.
She is the daughter of the Titans Hyperion and Fia, and sister of
Oh, that doesn't count.
If they're not over, it doesn't count.
No, if they're fucking, like, if they're Titans or they're those, or if they're Eternals or whatever the bad Eternals are called, like, that doesn't count.
Well, she's part of the Hellfire Club.
Yeah, she doesn't count. Is she?
Yeah.
Because the Hellfire Club's all dead.
She was in the Hellfire Club, New Mutants Volume 1, Number 9.
Well, Apocalypse is dead, too. All right, never mind.
Yeah, she's the...
I was going to find a way around, though.
Yeah, she was an external. She's a Hellfire Club external, Sisterhood of Mutants. Yeah, they showed her in the Sisterhood of Mutants. Apparently, she's the oldest one.
All right. Well, Apocalypse could be second oldest, though.
He was the first over mutant.
Was he ever really over?
He's more sort open of. Than this other girl you mentioned.
X-Men character.
Briefly.
More than
he had his time in the sun.
More open than this bitch you just brought up.
I mean, he's got a point, dude. When did anybody ever care about the Hellfire Club?
Back in the 80s, I'm sure. Dazza.
That's true.
Well, yeah, Dazza.
I apologize to Dazza. But nobody else.
I don't fuck the Hellfire Club.
What's that?
I said, I don't fuck the Hellfire Club.
Alright.
Right in the ear.
She's a psychic. She was born over 17,000 years ago in what is now Central.
That's stupid.
After the ocean swallowed Atlantis before the rise of Arius.
I could have been an interesting mutant though, the first mutant.
So
she was born in the age of Aquarius. Let's go to the next book.
Okay. Black Panther issue 2. Writer, let's see if I can do this. Ta-Nehisi Coates. Art by Brian Stelfreeze.
I don't think it's his real name anyway. It's all right.
What, the writer of Black Panther?
Yeah.
I like this better than the first issue.
Yeah, no, I liked it better than the first issue, but... Okay, somebody needs to tell this guy you're writing a comic book, and just because in some comic books too much stuff happens, that doesn't actually make it acceptable. You probably should pace your shit out more, because we got so much in this. We got Black Panther and the Necropolis talking to the dead Black Panthers. We got the reveal that they're like Wakanda isn't actually this great place, and we've got all these different factions, and parts of Wakanda are just like every other part of shithole Africa, which
I don't want to say better writers, because this guy in fact could be very good down the road, but
no, I still think he's a good writer, and Marvel said, this was better than the first issue. It's just. He's fucking putting so much out there. And I think a part of that might be because how many people actually read Black Panther comics and know that much about Wakanda?
Yeah, I wonder how much the first issue – did the first issue make the top 10?
I know do you want me to spoil it for you? Because that's a new story we're going to be doing next week.
Yeah, you can just tell me.
It was number one.
Oh, it was? Wow.
Yeah, so it did fairly well. I think a couple of people bought it there, Dave.
I didn't think it was a bad issue, and I hope this does well, because I'm not so much complaining about this. I found it interesting, and I like that he's setting things up for the future. I just think this was a little bit info dumpy for my taste.
What I was saying before earlier, I'm saying writers with more experience have been bogged down with something like this, and if it's fine, you want to do something like that, but really, when you're still trying to cut your teeth and you're still kind of getting used to the medium, it's like, dude, stick to... I wouldn't say simple stories, but just tell the story that you want to tell. And if you want to do all this world building later, do it. But really, right now, you're still kind of new to the medium. And just tell a couple of stories, get those underneath your belt, and then maybe you can do some world building.
The other argument on that, though, is if this is taking place in Wakanda, and Wakanda has always been this kind of mysterious place, he has to develop Wakanda early.
Yeah, but then it loses its mystery.
We as readers don't have a familiarity with it.
Yeah, but if you expose every single portion, you map out every single thing, and you kind of build the entire world, then there's no mystery to it, and it's just, okay, it's a thing now. And
well, there still is mystery. They introduce four different factions, and you don't know jack shit about any of them. You know names. You've seen them on a map, but you don't actually know anything about them. You heard about, like, a shaman group.
And the Midnight Angels.
Yeah, but you don't know anything about it. We've seen the Midnight Angels, but you don't know anything about them. The fucking whatever knife people. They're bad, but you don't know anything about them. He's laying foundations for future storylines so that when those storylines pop up, it won't be like, what the fuck is this? I never heard of this before. No, you've heard of it because he brought it up in this issue. That's what he's doing, and that's fine. It's just... This is a book that could have used a few more pages, I think.
It was a lot of jumping around. A lot of stuff happened.
Yeah, because he had to introduce an entire cast, because Black Panther has no cast.
Mm-hmm.
It's not his fault, but he's being hurt by years of not having a Black Panther comic and Black Panther not having a supporting cast.
Also, I don't remember the sister dying.
Didn't she die?
She's not dead. They showed it. She got trapped in Amber. She has the living death.
Oh, is that why they kept bringing up Thane in this issue? Because I'm like, I don't even remember how T'Challa became Black Panther again.
In this issue, they showed her in a block of orange shit, and they said she's not dead, but she's not alive.
Ah, got it. Okay. Thanks for clearing that up, Alex. Appreciate that.
Now, I don't know why they can't fucking break her out, because everybody else got broken out of that shit, and they were fine.
maybe he thinks she's dead? And that's just...
Doesn't he know Thanos is trapped in that shit? And he damn sure knows Thanos got out.
I think it's more... He doesn't know how to explain to the people of Wakanda that she's stuck in this amber. So it's easier just to say, oh, she's dead, now I'm the ruler of Wakanda.
But how did he get out of that amber? Like, Namor, the Cabal and all those people?
Namor got him out.
What did he do to
him? Didn't somebody cut a hole in it and then they broke out?
I don't know.
They never showed it. It was just they kicked Namor out of the Illuminati, and then I think an issue or two down the road in New Avengers, they showed Namor with the rest of the Cabal.
Could have sworn there was like a crack in the amber shit, and then they got out.
Nope.
I think the crack was, I do remember a crack, but I think the crack was more like a tease, like, oh, they're going to get out soon.
Well, maybe Thanos was such a fucking beast.
Well, he is.
He just busted out of it, but Shuri isn't, she wasn't even as cool as the current Black Panther, so she can't fucking break out of it.
Well, yeah, that's what I figured. It's like she can't break out of it because she's not strong enough.
Yeah.
I was under the impression that Namor let them all out.
I don't know, maybe, but the what are they called? The Midnight
Angels.
The Midnight Angels, who are doing some vigilanteing in Wakanda, because Wakanda's got problems, as I said. One of them's got a plan to solve all the problems in Wakanda, which probably means they're gonna go kill a bunch of motherfuckers. In this one, they were stopping captured women from getting raped, because you got to do that. But they might be a little anti-men.
Well, they're lesbians.
That doesn't necessarily mean they hate men.
Well, not necessarily, but I'm just saying maybe that's where they go with it.
And I do think it's a little on the nose to have the two lesbian characters stopping a bunch of women from being raped by men. That might be a bit much, but I don't know. I wouldn't say they have extra lesbian motivation.
She said, no, I'm not a lesbian.
Thank you, Sheena.
Well, we don't know what the background of acceptance of lesbians is in Wakanda. I assume they're okay with it.
They're cool with lesbians?
Probably. They're a enlightened nation, even though they got fucking warlords raping people. I don't know. I had a problem with that. Like, I understand things like this are a problem in Africa, but they've always shown us that Wakanda is not like the rest of Africa.
The thing is, a lot of that stuff I know was happening on the border. Remember, there's like they're boarding in a country called like Niganda or something.
Yeah, but when they showed, when she put up that little map, that was a map of Wakanda, and these different groups were in Wakanda. So presumably this is going on in Wakanda, because she mentioned that, you know, the king hasn't, he knows about this and he hasn't done anything about it. Well, if it's happening in his country, that's why it would be a problem of him not doing anything about it. I just have a slight issue with that kind of stuff going on in Wakanda and Black Panther not doing anything about it. Maybe they're going to deal with that.
Well, he did rescue some people, but then they all threw shade at him.
Well, yeah, because they were like, but they were helping us, and you just beat the shit out of all of them. And then he's like, man. No, it was a good issue. It was a better issue than the first one.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I wasn't too hot with the first issue, but I'll agree with you there. The second issue was a lot better.
No, it was, and he's you know, it's what I said in the first one. I'm going to give this guy time, and he improved with the second one. I don't think it's so much that his writing improved. I think it's just he got what he needed to get out in the first issue, and now we can start getting into, you know, we're moving the plot forward, but we're also laying seeds for future stories. I think this issue was always going to be a little more punchy than the first one, so that helped. He is the same as a writer, but his story is progressing in a satisfying way.
And by the way, Black Panther in the Civil War movie was really good.
Yes.
Not as good as Spider-Man, though.
No, no, Spider-Man was better.
Spider-Man was the best thing in that movie.
Really? I liked Ant-Man in that movie.
Giant Man?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's Giant Man now.
That looks so stupid. Why was he so slow?
Because he was a giant.
Well, yeah, but just because he's big, he'd still move at the same speed.
Yeah, but, you know, it's one of those things, perspective, where, you know, from his point of view, he's moving at normal speed, but they're all small, so to him, they're moving a lot faster.
No, I don't buy that. I think he just looked really fucking slow. Spider-Man ruled, though.
Okay, let's talk something I'm sure we're probably going to agree on. Darth Vader, issue 20, writer Karen Gillian, art by Salvador Lacaro. Oh, my God, this book was so good.
The problem with this was, whenever the fucking Emperor talks, I read it in the Emperor voice. And he talked for about 8 fucking pages in this.
Just wait till we get
my head
back.
I'm hearing it in Emperor voice, and it's going so slow, because he doesn't talk very fast.
Just wait till we get Kingpin back in Daredevil books.
Oh, God, that's going to be...
Maybe that's why people are always like, they don't like live action things to happen, because in their head they hear a certain voice, and when they do either a TV or, I guess, you know, a movie, that voice goes away, and whatever they done, that medium replaces it.
Well, then I complain about the scripting of the Emperor in this, because the voice in the movies came first, and I know for a fact the Emperor would never talk this much, because it would hurt the fucking actor's voice to have to do that damn voice for this much dialogue. He just kept going and going and going and going, and it's like, Jesus, man.
I like how he gave the explanation for everything that happened, and Vader's like, yeah, you would have just told the same thing to them had I died and they've been successful.
Why doesn't Vader just kill him?
Because he can't.
I can't figure this out. The Emperor admits, yeah, I tried to replace you. And they were going to kill you, but they didn't. So good job. And now you have to go kill the guy who failed to replace you. And he's just like, yes, master. Fucking stab him. He's an old man. You eventually kill this guy by picking him up and throwing him down a fucking hole.
Yeah, but it
he's
kills him in the process.
Kill.
I have to imagine if he wants to take his place, he doesn't want to die in the process.
Why would he die if he just stabs him?
Because I think he could stop him from stabbing him. I don't think he's loyal to the Emperor for no reason. I think he genuinely believes he's not strong enough to defeat him.
Well, he couldn't stop him from fucking picking him up and throwing him down a air vent or whatever.
But he also died in the process. Yeah, but he also died in the process.
Yeah, and I didn't understand why, because the Emperor just kept shooting lightning forward. He was like a turtle on his back. All Vader would have to do is throw a banana peel down in front of him, and he'd trip. He couldn't get back up.
Oh, I'm sure that would have gone over really well in the movies had they done a banana peel finish.
Would have been fucking funny.
Yeah, but
Vader could roll him up.
We had a big, I guess everything could come to a conclusion sort of in this issue of Darth Vader, where they sort of explain everything that's gone on so far. So that this whole thing has been a plot from the Emperor from the get-go, not only to test Vader and maybe find a new right-hand person, but also to sort of snuff out this now what's his exact title again?
Grand Inquisitor?
Yeah, he's trying to out this Grand Inquisitor as sort of a traitor, someone who's willing to do whatever he can to get to the top. So he sets up this thing, so obviously he puts Vader beneath them to try to smoke him out, to kind of, you know, get him to, I guess, overplay his hand. Because they've been having suspicions of this guy, whether or not he was super loyal.
Well, and this guy, he ends up saying, you know, he captures Dr. Aphra, and then has Vader come meet with him, and Vader goes to meet with him. He's like, hey, listen, we need a strong leader in the Empire, and like, you know, the Death Star got blown up. The Emperor's fucking weak. But you can kill him.
It wasn't Aphra. It was Fana.
Yeah.
Aphra's a female.
No, I said he captured her. He had her. That's what he told Vader. He had her captured, and that's how he drew Vader to him.
Yeah, because Vader's like, I could kill you right now, but I don't know where she is, so I need you to tell me where she is before I kill
you. At the end of the last issue, he said he had her, and that's how he got Vader to come see him. So Vader comes to go see him, and he thought he was going to, like, get ready to sell him out to the Emperor, but no, that's not what he wanted. What he said was, hey, you kill the emperor, you become the new emperor, the empire's strong again, and I'll be with you. That's what I wanted to tell you. And then Vader's like, you know, where is she, blah, 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 and he fucking kills him anyway.
Well, he knew he was going to die. He was like, because he was like, it was better off me just telling you now instead of me going into hiding and you eventually, because, you know, he's going to want to.
Yeah, because he track it down.
Yeah, because he wants to clear his tracks of, you know, and clean his hands of everything, you know, if he does kill the emperor. You know, he doesn't want it coming back to him. And the only way for that to happen is for him to kill Fanoff. And Fanoff was like, you know what? Yeah, you're eventually going to get me, so might as well just get it over with now. And I believe in the empire being strong, and it's for the better.
I just like it because Vader came off such a boss. He's like, if at any one of these people had killed me, you'd be having the same discussion with them. He's like, but that doesn't matter. I'm strong with the Force. And he's like, he comes off as such a badass.
Well, he doesn't, though, because he's kowtowing to the Emperor still.
Well, but you can also see the gears moving in his head where he thinks that he's thinking about recruiting Luke so he can help turn over the Emperor, because he realizes this, the way the Sith have always been worked for generations is that there have always been two. So naturally, if Vader's going to overthrow the Emperor, he's got to have an apprentice of his own. And he figures who better than his own son. So we can see, especially in the movies, where his motivation is for trying to lure Luke over to the dark side.
Well, Tony, we know that he had a secret apprentice, though.
That's not canon.
Who could bring down fucking Star? It was canon. Disney ruined it. Fucker brought down Star Destroyers with the power of the Force. He's fucking badass.
Not canon now. Disney owns it. That's not canon. This story's canon because Disney owns the rights to Star Wars, and these comic books are published by Marvel, and they're canon now.
It should be canon. He founded the Rebellion, sort of.
Should they pick and choose, like, whatever's cool is now canon?
Yeah, I thought that game was cool.
What's that first-person PC shooter game? Dark Forces?
Dark Forces is fucking awesome. So is Jedi Academy. That was first-person.
Are those both canon too? Knights of the Republic?
No, they're not. They are in my head.
All right. No, Vader talk.
Next book.
Really put that book over. Honestly, I can see why this is the only Star Wars book we continually read and like. Okay, from here, let's go to a book that's wrapping up. Illuminati, Issue 7, writer Joshua Williamson, art by Mike Henderson.
I believe it did wrap up in this issue, right?
Yes.
This is the last issue.
Yeah. The Illuminati turn on the hood because his family, he lost his family. His family has been taken away from him. Because S.H.I.E.L.D. is protecting them, and, you know, the wife called him a loser, and the hood is making it. The hood he wears apparently makes him, like, super evil.
Mm-hmm.
So his plan to get back at S.H.I.E.L.D. was, hey, let's kill their families.
So we've always tried to go after these superheroes, and it never works out. We could team up and maybe pick off one superhero, but that's not really enough. Let's just go after the families. Let's just kill them. Let's stop playing games with these superheroes and start playing for keeps.
Yeah, I mean, this was too much for Titania, and Absorbing Man, the rest of them, so they turned on him.
Yeah, and while talking to Titania, he kind of revealed that while she was working at that, it was at that pawn shop, right? Or was it a jewelry store?
It was a pawn shop.
Yeah, but he lets out accidentally that he set that up so he could get her to join the Illuminati.
Yeah, because she lost her powers. That gave her back her powers.
Yeah, but then also as a result of the cape being torn in half that she did in this issue, her powers went away as well.
Yes.
So, I don't know, Dave. What do you think of Illuminati? I guess as now that we've got this whole thing concluded.
Eh, whatever.
I'm sort of right there with you. I'm like, it wasn't great, but at the same time, you know, I can see why we stuck in.
I like that one story, the one that was the tie-in. I did like that one.
Yeah, actually, that was the only, or there were a couple of issues that tied in where actually weren't half bad, but yeah, the series was just. I don't know. If I had to grade it, it'd be a solid C. Never did anything bad, but wasn't bad enough to get itself cut.
Okay. Before we move on to the next book, can I just mention something pro wrestling related?
Okay. Just keep in mind, this is going to be timestamp we're doing this Saturday, but it's not going to come out till Wednesday, so keep that in mind.
Okay, but I just read the card for the ROH New Japan show.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking Kushida versus Silas Young.
Yes.
Is that the one?
Holy shit. That would be fucking hilarious if they let him do promos.
Is that the one in this? Is that the New York show tonight?
Yeah. Also, Tanahashi versus Matt Sydal.
Oh, that should be good. I
think that's a new match.
Oh, by the way, he signed with New Japan.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, today.
Yeah, he's good, and but he's got to be careful because in Japan they're not cool with you getting high. They don't like that. I just want to see what Silas Young says about fucking Kushida coming out of his Marty McFly vest and shit. He's the last real man. He won't fucking respect that.
Well, Marty McFly's Michael a real Elgin man.
Michael Elgin and Moose versus Dalton Castle. I don't know who else, but Dalton Castle.
I know what he'll call him. He'll call him a chicken.
Ooh.
I think it's under Marty McFly's skin quicker than calling him a chicken.
Are you Yella? Nobody calls me Yella.
Dave, quickly figure out how you say chicken in Japanese.
Who cares?
I do. It's funny. All right, let's move on to our next book since Dave doesn't care enough to look it up. Ultimates, Issue 7, writer Al Ewing, art by Christian Ward.
Captain Marvel still distracted by everything Galactus showed the team back in Issue 5.
Mm-hmm. Having problems.
Yeah, even while talking with McCore, who runs a Shi'ar equivalent to, I guess, their Alpha Flight station.
By the way, what Galactus showed her is probably going to lead to her using the future-telling guy to tell the future and change future in Civil War 2. It's all going to be based around shit we saw in Ultimates. What's up? Ultimates just became the most important book in Marvel. Thank you.
Well, it's always been It's always been the book that deals with all the big stuff. So it'd be fitting for it to be the most important book, sort of. In that way.
Yeah. What else happened in this? It was good. They had Anti-Man in prison.
He suspected the Cosmic Cube is back on Earth. Spectrum arrived with coffee. She's furious. And yeah, Anti-Man is locked up. He's safe for now.
Yeah, but he's fucking, like, they can't see what he's doing. Because Black Panther... Or no, fucking Black, that was racist of me. Blue Marvel is talking to him, and he's like, hey, are you having the visions anymore? And he starts, like, going on a little speech about what he sees and everything, and how he saw, you know, he's basically talking about how Eternity was in chains, and then he saw what was beyond that, which we haven't seen, and we just saw some eyes. But then, so we see all this, and then Blue Marvel's like, hey, I asked you if you're still having visions. So whatever he went through there, Blue Marvel couldn't see it and he couldn't hear him. Hmm. Yeah, that's how they did it. It was some clever art there because they did some cool, like some cool panels there inside his little prison bubble and we saw it all, but they didn't see it. So that was kind of cool. But I mean, the big takeaway from this is fucking Thanos is back and he killed all the Shi'ar.
Yeah, the Shi'ar there were on Earth, started to screw with Earth and Captain Marvel. They said, oh, we're just doing our annual check on Earth to make sure the Phoenix is our rider, hasn't come back. And
they know there's a cosmic cube.
Yeah, apparently Blue Marvel's daughter running some sort of research facility. And they got something that looks exactly like a cosmic cube but isn't exactly a cosmic cube.
Well, no, they have cosmic cube fragments like S.H.I.E.L.D. did before.
Yeah, but it's not technically a cosmic cube.
It's okay, and Captain Marvel's all, we just dealt with something with a cosmic cube. So whatever you're doing, just stop whatever it is, or I'll go right there and personally stop it myself.
Yep.
And the Shi'ar were using this as, you know, the guy who's running like their little check mission wants to move up in the S.H.I.E.L.D. hierarchy. And he thought, you know, hey, they have a cosmic cube. This will give me a reason to open up an outpost here, a permanent one, and that'll look good to the higher ups and I can get promoted. But, you know, cosmic cubes don't cause any problems. That's what all these fuckers on Marvel seem to be thinking. But then suddenly Thanos shows up, fucking straight up murders every one of the Shi'ar, except for one where he asks, like, hey, where's this cosmic cube?
And it's funny because even his little underling, the Shi'ar guy was like, there's this one thing screwing up everything. And he's like, and he sort of just dismissed it. He's like, whatever, just send our best assassins after. There should be no problem.
Well, no, he was like, send a security team. And they're like, yeah, we did. And, they haven't reported back. And he's like, well, you guys send someone else. And then fucking Thanos comes in and kills all of them.
He's like, well, this thing can't be that much of a threat because it's only so big. Come on. Something must be going on. So there's something more important going on with Earth, and I want to get this promotion.
You know what I liked about what they did with Thanos here?
What?
Thanos is a character who doesn't really need to be put over, but they still made him out to be a complete badass, even though they didn't need to.
Yeah.
Like, we've seen Thanos recently, and he was a badass. And here, he came in, he's fucking blowing guys' chests off, he's slamming guys' heads against walls and crushing their heads, he's snapping necks, he's doing everything. You know, they still put him over, even though they didn't need to.
Yeah, they still felt the need to build him up, showing him being a terrible human being, showing him with all his power, making him this huge threat. Yeah, it's cool. I liked it. Again, another solid entry in this fantastic series, Ultimates.
Okay. Yep.
From there, let's go into Uncanny Inhumans, Issue 8, writer Charles Soule, art by Brandon Pearson. Sorry about that. Dave, did you read this week or no? You said you forgot, no, right?
I forgot to read it.
Okay, that's fine.
So we knew Medusa and Johnny Storm were in a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And we knew the problems with that relationship, such as Human Torch used to date her fucking sister.
Yes.
And you're doing your sister kind of dirty by dating her ex-boyfriend, but
then they also establish in this issue too, you have Medusa, who's this sophisticated older woman, and you have Johnny, who's this younger, even though he's old, you know, he's not really a kid anymore, but he still acts like a young adult, and he's still kind of a goofball. So it's one of those things where,
well,
go ahead.
They started their relationship, it was her intention to help him, because Medusa, and because they kept jumping back and forth in time,
yeah,
to show the progression of the relationship, like, they jumped back at one point and they showed how they first, not how they first started dating, but how they first, you know, became connected when, Johnny was out on a date, but he was fucking shitty drunk and he lit the table in the restaurant on fire. Medusa was there eating dinner with She-Hulk. So since they're superheroes too, they took him away and she kind of talked to him and she offered Johnny the job as like the inhuman ambassador.
Yeah.
Cause he was well loved in New York, and they explained that the problem with Johnny was, you know, Reed and Sue disappeared at this point. So his sister and his friend, they both disappeared, and then Thing went to outer space with the Guardians. So he was kind of left alone.
So he just figures, I'll do whatever Medusa wants me to do because I really have nothing better to do. And
nothing else going on and no one to give a shit about because his family was gone.
And this was obviously before all the stuff with Uncanny Avengers. So obviously he was doing nothing. So he figured, why not just do this, help out in humanity?
But this was good writing because no one before this had dealt with the fact that, you know, the Fantastic Four is a family and Johnny is the only member of that family who's still on Earth.
Mm-hmm.
His sister and his brother-in-law are dead or have disappeared, and his buddy Ben Grimm is fucking out in outer space. He got left alone here. He's the only one left.
It's funny, in this Everybody issue, they said they're all three of them are on space. Reed, Sue, and Ben are all in space.
Well, no, they said they were gone.
No, I specifically remember them saying they were in space.
Well, they are in space.
Yeah, so, well, technically.
I don't think that's what it said.
I'm pretty sure.
Well, even if it doesn't, all three of them are in space, because I know the Future Foundation, they're in space remaking shit.
Yeah, but I don't think he knows that. I want to...
No, I don't think he knows, but I just thought it was odd that he would say that in this issue.
I don't want to bring the show to a screeching halt, but I kind of want to look this up. Okay, so Lurl was right. And they were going to break up. A building was collapsing. And, you know, they kept jumping back and forth between these relationships. Oh, double fucked up. So in All New Inhumans, you know, Crystal is out with the little floating Inhuman deal. And they're solving all the world's problems. the real reason they did that was because Medusa gave Crystal that job so Crystal would be away and wouldn't find out about her and Johnny. Mm-hmm. And she assumed she would be broken up with Johnny by then because she didn't think it would last as long as it did. What a bitch she is. And I mean, she even pointed out, she's like, listen, I'm the queen. I've been manipulating people forever to get them to do things they don't want to do because I'm the queen. That's what I did with my sister. I didn't think this would go on for so long, blah, 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 blah. So they're fighting, and Johnny really doesn't want to break up with her, and Medusa really doesn't either, but it's not best for the people. And then, you know, they have the very passionate kiss as the building is crashing down around them. And then who should show up to save them but Crystal? And Medusa's immediately like, Crystal, this isn't what it looks like. And Johnny's like, no, this is exactly what it looks like. And then the issue ends. So Johnny's kind of a dick too. Actually, everyone came off kind of badly in this.
But it's one of these things to where on paper, yeah, they shouldn't be together. But and really, when you look at their personalities, like maybe it wouldn't be the best personality. But the fact of the matter is they spent all this time with each other, and it doesn't make any sense, but for whatever reason why they still love each other.
Yeah, it works.
Well,
in fact, I don't know if they love each other, but...
See, I would say the opposite. I'd say it doesn't work, but they love each other anyway, so they're willing to try to make it work still.
And not every relationship is about love. They might not be to that point yet, but they enjoy being together.
Okay.
And apparently Human Torch has figured... You know, who cares if she doesn't get along with her sister?
And
I want to keep banging her.
I love the line where Johnny brings up Star Wars, and Medusa's like, you know, I've never seen any of those Star Wars films. And he's like, oh, why not? He's like, because I've actually been through actual Star Wars, and they're not really that big a deal. They're not really that cool of an experience. And it's there that the issue kind of ends, and they both sort of laugh it off. But yeah, you know, this wasn't the best issue of Uncanny Inhumans, but it was a solid issue.
Well, yeah, I thought it was good.
Okay.
Dealt with something that needed to be dealt with.
Okay. From there, let's go to Vision, Issue 7, writer Tom King, art by Gabriel Hernandez-Walta. Oh my god, I love this book so much. Can we do
this
an award?
This book was great.
Can we do an award for single issue best of all time, All My Life?
No, because it wasn't the best single issue I ever read, but it was the best single issue I've read in months.
Okay, all year.
This was a...
I don't see any book this year being better than this.
It's nowhere near as good as Pax Americana was. So,
well, I hate to break it to you, Alex, but that was, I think, 2 years ago now.
I don't care. It was still better than this. So that's the single issue I'm always going to remember from this show. But this was a fantastic issue. And this was doubly great because it was dealing with, like, this was basically a flashback issue. I mean, we went back to the present at the end, and we got some reveals in this, which we'll get to. But it was dealing with old stories, but with modern writing.
Yeah.
So the old story seemed much more interesting because it wasn't being written like an old comic, which is cool. They showed the progression of Vision and Scarlet Witch's relationship. And there's really too much to go into in the details. I mean, if you've read comics for a while, you know that, you know, they started dating, they fell in love, Scarlet Witch made them kids.
Yes.
They had arguments about making those kids, which, again, this is how they were tying it in. Vision thought it was kind of creepy because he's like, listen, I'd love to have a family with you, but, you know, basically, I'm a robot. They're not real. We can't have real.
And then she threw in his face, well, you're not real.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're a toaster. And,
she should have called him a freaking Cylon.
When Vision turned into White Vision, and that was fucking heartbreaking right there. When he turned into White Vision and, like, you know, him and he's there with Scarlet Witch and the kids, and he basically walks up to him and he's like, yeah, so, you know, I have a new body, and, like, while I have all your father's memories, I'm not your father at all. Your father's gone. I'm a new Vision.
That they played that off a little bad because what happened, the reason why he turned white is because the government took his body and remade him, and all his emotions were gone. So because he had a new body and he was basically a new person, he was like, yeah, you know, we're, he didn't feel for her anymore. So he's like, you know, we're essentially divorced.
But in this, they had to show him doing it to the kids.
Yeah,
that's way worse.
He couldn't understand because he was more robotic when he had when he was in the white form. But he was really, you know, absolutely being a heartless bastard there. You know, telling the kids that not really here.
He had no emotions. Of course, he was heartless. He was heartless. But the thing is, when they showed before that of him saying these kids aren't really ours, they're not real.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had this, when you connect those two things together, from Scarlet Witch's point of view, he fucking never thought these kids were real. He never gave a shit about them.
Mm-hmm.
So that's probably how she saw it. Because, you know, she was all super emotional and shit.
Yep.
So.
Although we know why his wife is crazy is because.
Yeah. Scarlet Witch gave him, she gave him a present. Like, after she started dating Wonder Man, which.
We're never going to get that resolved. Are we ever going to get that resolved?
What are we talking about now?
The last time we checked, Wonder Man was inside of a Rogue.
Yeah.
And no, I don't care. I don't care about that because it doesn't matter because this is a much better book than Uncanny Avengers or whatever that book was ever was. So I don't care if we ever get that resolved. This was just here to move the story forward. And she explained that, you know, I think I like him so much because you're – shit was based on him.
Yeah, the brain.
But, you know, him. Yeah, but, you know, he's kind of human and you weren't. So I still, you know, I love him now, but it's different from you.
So, and, so it's weird that I'm sort of splitting hairs because you're both essentially the same person. So for me to be in love with him now isn't really that much of a difference.
But she used this to say, you know, since he's a lot like you, but human, I thought maybe you could use this to make that for yourself.
Yeah, it was a copy of her brain patterns.
The little thing which had like her brain patterns on it,
mm-hmm.
which is what he used to make his wife, which we always thought was creepy. And seeing this, yeah, it's fucking creepy. And then so the panel we had earlier was him in bed with Scarlet Witch, and he tells her this joke. And, you know, she laughs. And then the last panel of this book is him in bed with his new wife that he made. And he's telling her the joke, but she doesn't laugh.
So.
Which is.
What's the takeaway in this? That eventually they're going to break up too?
Okay, so what Scarlet Witch said to him was, the reason this is working with Wonder Man and it didn't work long term with you was basically because you're not human.
Mm-hmm.
But he is. So Vision, who at that point when she told him this had been more human again, he created this woman off of the brain patterns of Scarlet Witch, the same way Vision was originally created based on Wonder Man, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Scarlet Witch and Vision's relationship didn't work out because of who he was, because he was what he made his wife.
Okay. So we came to the same conclusion, because I was wondering, are they using this to show that there's a parallel between the two relationships and eventually it's not going to work out? Okay, perfect.
Yes, except now Vision is the human one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the roles are flipped.
Yeah, the roles have completely flipped. Vision is the human and the wife isn't. And that's why the wife is so much more fucked up than Vision and all this. Except the reason she's fucked up is because she's a fucking robot, but she can't deal with the fact that she's acting like a human.
Mm-hmm.
That's the whole problem with her. So, you know, it was a very, very well-written issue. It was mostly just like fucking straight emotion through all of this. But then in the end, you got that creepy, uneasy feeling again because of everything you just read. Tom King is the best writer at Marvel now, by far.
And here's what I love about this issue. For people who haven't been reading Vision so far, I can recommend this book to them because it's a book to where if you've been reading the series, you got something out of it. But if you had not been reading the series and you want to see what the big hoopla is about this book, you can read it because it's not a one-off, but you can read it as a one-off. And
no, it's a lot of what's good about this book is encapsulated in this issue.
Yeah.
And, I mean, this issue is dealing with like sort of more modern takes on classic storylines. So, and also you don't have to like Tony hasn't read those old issues of Avengers. You might not even know about the Scarlet Witch made kids for them thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, cause I don't think you ever read anything about that.
No, I read,
they still like,
what's it, what's the big crossover they had with Scarlet Witch?
House of M.
House of M. I've read House of M and I've read Avengers Disassembled. So I kind of have an indicator of, you know, the whole mental state with Scarlet Witch in the past.
Yeah, the kids going away kind of, you know, or her making the kids in the first place is the first sign that she was cracking, because that wasn't a normal thing to do. Yeah, this was really good though. And yeah, you could read this without having read the rest of the series and still get quite a bit out of it. You could at least get a sense for how he is as a writer.
But what's great about it, if you have been reading the series, you can take a lot of what's happening in this book away with you, and it's probably going to play into future issues.
I'm back to being sad that this book is going to end.
I'm happy, because really, if this book had gone for 20, 30 issues, it may have lost steam. With this, I know it's going to be good for all 12 issues. So
yeah, that's what I tell myself to make myself feel better. But every month this book comes out, and it's like I have to put it over because it's my favorite book that month.
If it makes you feel any better, if there's any kind of consolation prize, he's not going anywhere. In fact, he's writing the number one book in the industry. So
yeah, but he's writing fucking Batman, and if you're writing Batman, DC editorial is going to have their hands all over the damn thing.
Yeah,
I don't think Marvel gives a shit what he's doing in Vision.
I still have hope that despite all that working against him, he can write really good Batman stories. And maybe they won't be as good as this, but we've seen from other books that he's written, he's still very, very good. And maybe he can overcome all those obstacles.
How can you do a new take on Batman, though?
He took a new take on Vision.
Exactly, but Vision isn't Batman.
If
Vision is nowhere near as popular as Batman. He hasn't had half as many stories.
Had you told me this time last year they're going to make a Vision book and it's going to be bar none the best thing at Marvel, I would have called you a liar to your face. I don't care who you put on this book. You could have put my boy Hickman on this book and I would have said, no, there's no way you can get me interested in Vision, period.
Right, but I'm just saying Vision is more of a blank slate. You could do more with him. And even what he's doing with Vision, he's not doing anything that's out of the ordinary for the character. He's just doing it better. I've read fucking fantastic Batman stories over the years. I've never read a fantastic solo Vision book. It's never existed.
Yeah.
So
fact, now that I think about it, has there been a solo Vision book before?
I'm sure he had like a listed series here or there.
Like a mini or something, yeah, but.
Okay. I choose to be optimistic, maybe cautiously optimistic, but I still think it's going to be good.
I think it's Batman will be good, but I think if you're expecting it to be this good, you're going to be disappointed.
No. Okay, I'm right. Okay, this is somewhere where we can agree. Is it going to be this good? No. Is it still going to be very good to Tom King standards? I still think it's going to be there.
Maybe.
Okay.
I don't trust DC editorial.
Yeah. I'm right there with you, but I think Tom King is such a great writer. Maybe not entirely overcome it, but he'll overcome some of those trappings. All right, let's wrap up this week's books to moving on to Valiant with Ninjak 15, writer Matt Kent, art by Diego Bernard.
Yeah, in this issue, Roku of the Shadow 7 has framed Ninjak for murder through the help of a Russian mob boss whose name Volk.
Mm-hmm.
They used him to steal his identity. They ended up destroying his house. So Ninja K, he tracks him down. And
Ninja K.
Yeah.
He won't let us call it Ninjak.
Yeah, he confronts him. And he apparently he set up a trap for him. He's like, oh, I got this pen for you. Roku says, you'll know what it is. So he looks at it and he's all like, look, I'm tired. Just tell me. And it ends up blowing up in his face and he falls down a bunch of stories. Kind of ends there.
I'm glad we're getting this big Roku story, because they teased her before in the past, but they haven't really done much with her. If this is their excuse to tell a big Roku story with Ninja K, I'm all on board.
I just like that Ninjak is, you know, he's pissed off.
Oh, you can say
Ninjak. All his money. Well, no, they, yeah, Ninja K is pissed off. They took all his money.
When you say it's fine.
Well, that's what he is. He's Ninja K.
All right. Then I'm going to hold you to the same standard.
They took all his money and they blew up his house, but he's still a fucking badass. He'll beat shit out of everyone. Cause that's what's up with Ninja K. And he doesn't have his cool Ninjak costume anymore. Ninja so K. He just wears the K shirt. Mm-hmm. So people know what's up. They know who's kicking their ass. It's Ninja K.
This ninja guy, he has K on his shirt. I don't know what the correlation between the two is.
There's a backup story. The backup story is basically about the butler, how he met his mom. Because you remember the butler, we end up finding out it's his dad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, his secret dad.
Yeah. This just shows him how they got together and how she ended up getting pregnant and how she got him out of the country. So, yeah, that was pretty much it.
Great book.
I don't know why we need that.
Yeah, it's there. It doesn't take that much space, and it's not like it eats into the story they're telling with Ninja K, so I'm fine with it.
Yeah, it was fine. It's just, you know.
It was a quick issue to read.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was very quick, because it was a lot of him fucking guys up.
Nice. All right, that's going to do it for this week's book. Let's move on to our final segment, next week's books. Wherever you go, whatever you do, I will be right here waiting for you. Whatever it takes, or how my heart breaks, I will be right here waiting for you. Okay, I got comic list pulled up. Let's see what we're reading for next week. Let's see. Archie, nothing. Oh. Avatar Press. Are we reading comics?
Don't I usually do this?
Yeah, I'm getting a little ahead of you. I didn't know if you had comic list pulled up, and I don't want dead air.
Dude, I've had that shit pulled up since we started the show, motherfucker.
Ooh, nice.
I'm all over it, and hey, I want to try to read something.
Okay.
Something new. Okay, I think it's May, number one, M-A-E.
M-A-E?
Who publishes?
Who does publish this? IDW, maybe. Gene Ha's writing and drawing it. Gene Ha's a fantastic artist.
It's Dark Horse, by the way.
Okay, well, I want to read it because I want to look at Gene Ha art. And this isn't going to be a heavy week because I looked ahead.
Okay, M-A-E.
Okay. So.
Batman counted 20.
I counted 20, dude. And I didn't even include that one book, May book, yeah.
Well, Gene Ha's better than the other artists on this. So,
okay, so let's
then we got Astro City 35.
Okay. Did you forget Providence?
That's not a new issue of Providence.
Oh, it's not? Okay. My
no. So that cuts down one thing off your list.
Yep. Okay. My mistake. My bad.
Astro City 35.
Got that.
Clean Room number 8.
Yeah.
Lucifer number 6.
What is Future Quest?
It's that Hanna-Barbera
Hanna-Barbera shit. Oh, not reading.
I want to read it, but I can go
ahead, read it. I don't care.
Read it. I ain't reading it.
Okay. If it's good enough, I'll lighten you around it.
Yeah, it's not going to be good enough. Fucking Hanna-Barbera, are you shitting me?
Oh, come on. I grew up with Hanna-Barbera.
Yeah, I didn't.
Okay, I should correct that because I don't want people to think I'm ancient. I grew up with.
Are they doing like a? Because the Scooby Doo one is like they all have goatees and
that looks terrible. That looks like it's all serious.
Are they doing that with?
No, they're playing this straight. They look exactly like they did in the old school.
Should we read Superman Wonder Woman because that's the continuation for Action Comics?
Oh, is it?
Okay.
Well, at the end of the issue, it says it continues in Superman Wonder Woman.
Ooh, good eye, Dave.
All right. Whatever, add it in, so we can know what's going on in the story.
Good idea. Appreciate that.
Black Road, number 2.
Ooh, cool.
Drifter, number 11, is that the NXT guy? He's got a combo?
Yes.
Elias Sampson?
Are we reading Drifter?
No, I'm not reading that. No. No, I don't even like him on the fucking show. All New Wolverine, number 8. Astonishing Ant-Man, number 8.
Continue.
Isn't Civil War 2 number 0 the Free Comic Book Day comic?
I am not positive.
No. I looked it up. This is not.
And now it costs $5.
This is not the free comic book version one. It has different material. And even Bendis on Twitter confirmed this is all new stuff.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Okay. So we're reading Civil War II, number 0.
Continue.
Haunted Mansion.
Yeah.
Did you count? Did you count Ant-Man? I don't remember.
I did.
I said it.
Okay.
International Iron Man number 3.
See, the stuff is quickly piling up.
Karnak number 4.
Light Week.
Old Man Logan number.
Yeah, I already dropped that. Remember?
I can't believe you dropped Old Man Logan. What is wrong with you?
Well, I already know how it ends. I'm fine with it.
It was good.
Shit.
Silver Surfer.
You know how, Vision's ending. Not good.
I know.
Silver Surfer.
I got it.
Spider-Man.
The non-abbreviated Spider-Man.
Yeah, there's Miles Spider-Man, but it's not called that. It's just Spider-Man. Okay, here's the deal. Spider-Woman number 7. It's a part of that crossover.
Nope.
But wait, let me read to you what it says because this might change your mind. Okay. Spider-Woman part 7. What happened in the Marvel Universe during Jessica's time on Earth 65? What happened in her home? Who's that with her baby? So this, it's hinting, is not going to be about her doing shit on the other Earth in the crossover. It's going to be what's going on with her baby and I assume Porcupine with her kid.
There's got to be some way to punish you if this winds up not being any good.
Okay, but I'm just reading you what it says, man. We could try it and just not review it.
Okay.
It's bullshit. Okay?
I reserve the right to kick your ass number if it's 7. Not good, though.
You can still read that?
Yeah.
What?
Squadron Supreme?
You still read that?
Yeah, we like it.
Yeah, because... Yeah, you don't like it. We like it.
Okay. I thought you guys dropped it.
Uncanny Avengers 9.
Alrighty, Rudy. Oh.
Rye 13. Okay. Wrath of the Eternal Warrior 7.
Yeah.
Do I have to read fucking Exo Manowar Annual? Is this required reading?
I want to read it. You don't have to. You don't have to read anything you don't want, homie. This is a volunteer.
Well, yeah, but I mean, what is it?
Let's see.
It may be a one-off story. Let's see.
Before he can confront the biggest threat Earth has ever faced, he must first reflect on his past. So it's a old-timey...
Flashback story.
Yeah, but it's...
I'll read it.
I'll read it, too. I'll put it on the list, but you don't have to read it.
64 pages long.
Ah, that is kind of a... I don't know. We'll see. I'm going to put it on the list, and if I decide not to read it, it's nothing in the world.
It's still Vendetti writing it, so.
Yeah, I know. I saw that, too. And it's the writer, it's the old writer from Imperium, so.
And Kafu is doing art.
I know. What a weird name. Like, that can't be a shoot name, right?
F-U.
It's got to be a made-up name. Pen name, if you would. Yeah, this comes out in 20...
No, I think his actual name is Kafu.
Kafu? His shoot name, brother?
Yeah, I don't fucking know what his name is.
That comes out to 21 books there, Dave.
Oh, yeah, that's probably going to be like 17 or something.
It's going to be a light week, he says.
You won't read anything different.
We better off just having a segment where Dave is on the show, and then he's like, okay, we're going to now review books that Dave didn't read.
I looked up Kafu.
Mm-hmm.
He is a former Brazilian soccer player. And he's the only player to have appeared in 3 World Cup finals, and he won 2. So apparently, it doesn't say this on Wikipedia, but he became a comic artist.
Are you sure this is the same Kafu?
You know,
I think it's odd 2 people would have that name.
Kafu is initials, by the way. It stands for Carlos Alberto Fernandez Urano.
But this can't be the guy who's drawing the Valiant comics.
That's the guy who's drawing the... I don't know about the soccer player. I'm just saying that's the name of the guy.
The soccer's name is Marcos Evangelista de Moraes.
No, that's not him.
I don't know how to speak Portuguese.
It'd be a hell of a story. This is a Renaissance man if he, in fact, draws comic books and has appeared in various and many World Cups.
World Cups.
Cafu is just the initials of this guy's name.
Okay.
So Alberto Fernandez Rubano.
Okay, cool.
How are those his initials? It's got a fucking what's his first name?
Carlos. C.
Oh, Carlos. Alberto, okay.
A. Fernandez F. Urbano.
Well, no, I just heard Alberto, and I'm like, okay, that's not a C.
But then how does this the football player make any sense? His first name is Marcos.
It's his nickname.
What a stupid nickname. This artist has a way better excuse for having
probably mean something in Brazilian, dude. They don't have fucking
Brazilian? You mean Portuguese?
They didn't know his Amigards.
I mean Portuguese.
Yeah, it's a fucking Portuguese nickname. It probably means like the boss or something. there's YouTube clips all about Cafu.
Cafu? Any relation to Haku?
He's the greatest right back. I know nothing about soccer because I'm American and white. So, like, position names, like right back is apparently a position.
Huh.
All I know about soccer, I fucking played it when I was a little kid, and we all just got in a big ball in the middle of the field, and we'd all fucking kick each other.
That sounds like rugby.
Well, no, because rugby is kind of like football, isn't it?
I don't, dude, I'm an American, too. I have no idea. But
rugby is somewhat popular here, isn't it?
I'll talk to Dazza about it.
He watches Invicta, dude. He probably fucking watches women's soccer or something.
Hey. At least he could answer some questions, though.
He might be able to. But they might have different positions in women's soccer. Like the position, sucking on these nuts.
Whoa!
Yeah, are there any hot soccer players?
Can we end the show now?
Oh, okay, yeah. Well, the kung
fu discussion. No, fuck you. I'm having fun now. This show's about hot soccer players now. Let's talk about it.
We could take that discussion off air, but I think the people are done listening to us talk about comics. So from all of us at HalfGuard.com, thanks for checking out the show. And as always, see you guys next week. Adios.